Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed. And a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mic. Drink. From the fountain of knowledge.
There's lizard people everywhere.
That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
And welcome to Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. I'm here to
rock.
There we go, brother. We got a great show for you. We got the Zionist killer. Thriller. Out of unknown locations. We don't give out our guest locations, but we're going to bring Adam Green in a couple seconds. I just wanted to tell you some amazing things going on. We got some live shows coming at you. Live shows. March 16th, I am live at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club myself, Annie Letterman. We will be live. You'll be seeing Sam do about 45 of straight murder. My new kid material is, people are talking about, might be the greatest kids material you ever heard in your life. Listen, I know people doing kids jokes is hacky. Not this guy. Not this guy. Okay. So come check me out. That's March 16th at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Festival. Comedy Club. And then on the 19th, it is the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Myself, this man, Xavier Guerrero. Okay. No. We're doing Ice House. Did I do Ice
House? Yeah, March 19th.
March 19th, Ice House, 10 o'clock. I'm going to start putting together a killer lineup on that. Eddie Bravo, myself. Johnny, no, you're not doing that show. You're not ready for it, dude. Hit a couple open mics and we'll get you in. And then on April 11th, it is Tinfoil Hat Live in Huntington Beach at the Rec Room. Same crew, but we're adding, Steve Simone will be at that show. And Johnny's going to bust his cherry here in LA in comedy. And then you have May 1st, we are at the Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane, Washington. And then we're doing a Saturday 420 show at the Tacoma Comedy Club. So grab those tickets. And then March 9th. No. Yeah.
Yeah, March 9th. March, at the 10th Theater.
Yeah. No, is it March 9th?
Yeah, March 9th.
No, May 9th. Duh. May 9th. God, yeah, two bad. Of us messed
yeah,
that up.
Idiots.
May 9th. I'm really butchering. I'm usually better at this, Adam. Please, I'm a little nervous here on the show.
I always get my marches and my mays mixed up.
So May 9th, that is going to be in Chicago at the Den. So those are the big shows there. Guys, if you want to support the show, go to the Patreon at patreon.com/tinfoilhat. Okay? And then we also have t-shirts for sale. I got a brand new t-shirt that's going to blow your mind. Just go to tinfoilhattshirts.com and we will, you can support the show. It's a great way to support the show. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at BetDSI. Making those bets, dude. Making those bets. WNBA is heating up, everybody. Go get your, dude, I'm leading in our WNBA fantasy league over here. I'm killing Johnny. Johnny's in last place. He doesn't know who's good at WNBA basketball.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was in that league. So, yeah, good point.
That's why you haven't changed your rosters yet.
That's why he's winning, because no one's in the league.
You can bet on anything you want there. We're also starting to do some conspiracy bets. All you have to do, dude, is use the promo code HAT100 and you will they will double up your deposit up to $500. And you know, again, NBA, boxing, UFC, XFL's interesting, ping pong. Like, that's gotta be, is ping pong still happening in China, or did Corona shut that down too?
Oh, that shut down. Hey, but the Bitcoin's popping, though.
Bitcoin's popping.
You can bet with Bitcoin, too, as
well. Bet with Bitcoin, dude.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was like 8 yesterday.
Johnny's asked if he could do a promo on the show, and I know you guys hate promos, but since I pay Johnny in sandwiches, I'm okay. You could have that. Go on.
Well, no, if you'd like to hear some more Sam Tripoli and sports conspiracies, check out the Punch Drunk Sports Patreon, which Sam hosts. Patreon.com//PunchDrunkSports.
Yeah, there you go, Johnny. Nice job. What's your social media, Johnny?
At Johnny Woodard, JohnnyWoodard on Twitter, and then Johnny A. Woodard on Instagram.
What's yours?
She marks the spot.
And I am at Sam Tripoli. And again, that's Tinfoil Hat. And that is BetDSI. Use the promo code HAT100. Help the show. They're our longest running sponsor. Very excited about having this gentleman on. You know, this guy reminds me of like my favorite MMA fighter, you know? Where, like, you watch this guy, and he's just, like, murdering people in the octagon, and you're like, this motherfucker is a savage animal. And then you meet them, and they're the nicest people ever. And they're, like, so nice, and you're like, wow. You know, and, like, this is how I feel about his videos, man. He's doing some serious heavy lifting. You can tell he's, like, really, like, dedicated to what he's doing, and he's just, like, he's into it, dude, and, like, he's intense in his videos. And then you meet him in real life, and he's just a gentle giant. He's about 8'7", and he's the nicest guy. You guys have been begging to get him on, and to be honest with you, man, it's just been a crazy time. I love his stuff. I watch his videos, so I'm glad we can finally get him on the show. Please welcome my friend and yours, from Mr. Adam Green. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Sam. It's really good to be here. I appreciate the kind intro. And I read a lot. I do a lot of heavy research, but I keep it cool. So, you know, you could show your... I try to make it so you could show your videos to, like, grandma or grandpa, you know?
Yeah, and I do. And you do. And you come from a good place. You have a good soul. You could tell. And sometimes when we do this heavy lifting on these topics that scare people, you know, they think we're crazy, or they think we're just assholes or whatever. And we're really not. We're just passionate. And really, you are just passionate about people. When you really break it down, you care for where you live and you care for your community. And that's why you do what you do. You know,
that's right.
Tell us about
it. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in the world for myself. And, you know, I'm about truth, justice, exposing hypocrisy, exposing lies. Like any person would want.
Tell us a little bit about No More News.
NoMoreNews.org is my website. And lately I've been focusing a lot on Zionism, prophecy, Judaism, Jewish supremacy, the anti-Semitism agenda. I talk about Trump, Israel, you know, the Israeli lobby. So a lot of topics like that. And on my website, you can find the links to YouTube, BitChute, DLive, you know, everything like that, Twitter, Facebook.
So I want to talk to you about that because, you know, this is a subject that is very important. I always get, they always comment, oh, why don't you talk about the goos, they call them in the comment section. Why don't you ever talk about the goos, man? And I'm like, well, you don't listen to the show.
You have. Yeah, I've seen you cover some controversial stuff. I applaud it.
Well, thank you, brother. And, you know, because this is something I want to kind of talk to you about, because I think you and I talk about the same people. I just wonder if you think that maybe we have different labels for them. I don't want to put any words into your mouth. You know, we probably, if you go, hey, this guy is doing some stuff, right? Who they are, that might be where you and I have a discussion on what is the label of that. You know what I'm saying? Because my opinion is, and I'm all about, like, okay, these people are doing this. Who are they? Is it Jews? Because, like, when we see, like, what's his name? Jeffrey Epstein get busted. Now they're going through all this shit, and it's all this occultic shit. And I'm like, well, is he a Jew? Or is he really just wearing this mask to walk amongst us because he can't tell everybody, hey, dude, I'm into Moloch and I sacrifice children and I'm into all that stuff. So they take, you know, the stories of the Khazarians and stuff like that. That's to me where, like, I would love to know your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen you talk about that, and that's an understandable belief that it doesn't end with, you know, Christianity and Judaism and Islam, that there's really like a force above it, like some people say the Illuminati or the Sabbatean Frankist cults or, you know, Babylonian, you know. Alex Jones says the Germanic death cults, which I'm not so sure if I agree with that one, but... Yeah, if you want to, or some people say the Jesuits and the Vatican, or actually really the KGB and the Marxists behind everything. So I think it's up for debate, but I just tend to focus on what I see as having such a imminent threat and so much power that's just like overtly in our faces. And that's the relationship with the Zionists, with Israel and the lobbies and all these people around Trump that are like, you know, like putting Trump on a coin to rebuild the Third Temple, and Adelson's wife saying that there's going to be a biblical book of Trump. You know, that's the stuff that interests me.
No, I listen, and you 100% are accurate on all that stuff you're talking about. And, you know, for somebody like me, it's like the presidents, I take them issue to issue. I don't know anybody that would fully get behind anybody in that seat, in that position. I think it's almost impossible to get somebody in there clean. My opinion is Trump is a crime boss in a sense. So, and that, you know, he's going up against satanic pedophiles and they're just two different organizations. And that's fine. That's what we're here to discuss. And it's like there's a war going on and like nobody's super clean, but you take them issue to issue. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there definitely seems to be a dividing line, like the paradigm or the dichotomy seems to be like kind of Bolshevik, communist, secular, largely dominated by Jew faction. And then there's the right wing religious alliance with the ultra orthodox Chabad Zionist and APAC and like the Hagee and the Christian Zionist and all the people that are surrounding Trump. So it does seem to be that they have like, you know, factions and they battle on some issues, but like at the same time they could be controlled at the top and this is just a little, you know, theater or something.
For sure.
Or it's just fighting for managerial positions or strategy, but they kind of have that, you know, they still work together on other levels and it's really just theater.
I totally agree. That's definitely possible for sure. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised. It's like, you know, it's like the Sopranos, you know, they wouldn't go to the cops to take out another crime. They whack each other. And then when it's worthwhile, they work together. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure in L.A. with all these gangs, what they say, there's like 60 gangs in L.A. It's like I'm sure there's times that these gangs work together when it's mutually beneficial. But at the end of the day, they're still fucking gangs, right? And that's what they are. Yeah. There are things that I find interesting that makes Trump a little different. But when it comes to the Zionist stuff, 100% there's something going, okay, what's going on here for sure? And there is reason to be alarmed. Now, for as somebody who is so strongly into trying to uncover what's going in that genre, right? When people, everybody in this room has a black belt in conspiracies. And when I say a black belt, I mean, we could have a discussion on something and we're not going to run off crying because our feelings are hurt. We don't necessarily.
You guys got your PhDs on YouTube in conspiracy? Yeah,
right? Yeah. We've watched your videos. We've watched all these other people's videos. We can have a conversation. If somebody came on here and said, Michelle Obama's a guy, I don't know if I'm going to 100%, but oh, yeah, totally. But. Okay, what's your evidence? Just tell me what your evidence is. My head isn't going to explode, and I'm not going to run over and cry in a safe space corner, okay? So we can have this. But the people, you know, and that's kind of what I've tried to make tinfoil hat, is that people who aren't into conspiracies could try to listen to this and get a little bit of information enough that they go, okay, now I'm going to try to get a little bit more. And it's almost like sticking your toe in the shallow end. That's kind of what I wanted to do and not go really hard at it so they're just running off. So when somebody goes, Jews, 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 what? Because everybody... everybody has been trained to think when you say Jews, we're harking back to Hitler and Nazism. And that these people that are our friends, like, we talked about while you were eating Indian food the other day, that how, the people that the everyday, Bergs and Steins that we know, like my buddy Dave, who just recently quit his job doing pizza. Like, those are the people that I feel like are going to get fucked and everything. What are your thoughts on that?
What have I thought about your buddy that's selling pizza?
No, but like the implications, like, yeah, like every time.
I get what you're saying. Well, I study this a lot, how that they use anti-Semitism. Yeah, the way, sure, I see it is just the term is like, you're opposing us. You're anti what we want to do. They talk about they want self-determination. Basically, they want to fulfill their Zionist prophecies and what they want to do over in Israel. And, they can control with AIPAC. They can openly buy out our politicians and they could dominate disproportionately in a lot of influential positions in America. But now they're trying to make it so you can't even talk about it. Any criticism at all, like they're infallible, like they never conspire. Any criticism, even the most mild, like Ilhan Omar tweeting that AIPAC has power or that it's all about the Benjamins, they lost their minds. And they're trying to shut down free speech. And it's dangerous because these BDS laws where Americans can't boycott a foreign country. I think I've seen you tweeting about that or talking about it on the show.
Yeah, we just had Abby Martin on discussing her lawsuit against Georgia, which she should win easily unless we have corruption, because that is 100% a violation of First Amendment.
Trump's executive order that he signed a month or so ago with Kushner and Epstein's lawyer Dershowitz up there, saying that this is going to go down in history to fight anti-Semitism. If you look at this definition of anti-Semitism that they're trying to implement worldwide, it's so outrageous. It literally says it's anti-Semitic to say that they control any societal institution. Or it says it's anti-Semitic to say that there's any type of conspiracy to rule the world. When you can look at Judaism, you can look at verses in the Torah, and it's just so blatantly and overt all over the place. They're chosen, they're supremacist, their destiny is to basically rule the world from Jerusalem and to heal the world, be a light unto the nations with their moral superiority. And then they just say that, like, it's a conspiracy. You're an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. You need to be banned everywhere, shut down, deplatformed. And they're just silencing their opposition that's exposing exactly what they're doing.
No, I mean, for 100%, there is a movement to control criticism of a group that is 100% influencing our country and our political process, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, emails leaked, AIPAC or people at AIPAC openly were arguing about how this is going to not be good for us. The anti-BDS laws, because it violated the First Amendment. And then there's just some people that just don't care. But what I want to talk about is like, and this is just me, and this is why I wanted to have you on. And I love your work, and I love your what you're doing. Is that I'm like, it's always the people at top that are fucking with the people on the bottom. And sometimes the bottom are brainwashed and they are doing it too. But it's always the same fucking people. And, we go into like the trans agenda, dude. And I talk about a lot here and I probably lose listeners. They're like, dude, shut up about that. But it's like, we just had like two more videos come out of a drag queens in front of kids. And they're always shot so perfectly. You're like, it's the lighting's great. Everybody's, everyone's getting a SAG voucher so they can become union. It's like, it's such a production and it's so obvious what's going on. And it's to get us all to fight with each other. So, I've kind of talked about this before on my show. It's like, is Israel the head of it? I don't think so. I think it's City of London, right? And it's like, and they're using Israel. Now, I've met a lot of Israelis, and I'd like to know your opinion. And
I haven't said it's Israel at the very right. That's one of their bases. But yeah, it's Moscow, it's Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, New York, City of London, like you said. It's really the bankers that print the money and hand it out to their friends at the very top. And you know what? There's a verse in the Old Testament. It's literally a commandment that says, "You shall lend unto the nations, but thou shalt not borrow." It literally says to enslave the nations, which it translates to goyim. Goyim means nations. Basically, rule over them with usury, essentially. Commandment in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Several of them like it, too.
It is. And then you get into the Talmud, and then that comes out, and there's just chaos in that. But, you know, my opinion is that these religious books were written by people wanting to get these groups to fight. So they all, like, it's the same people, man. You go back. It's like, who created Islam? You know, there's this whole thing that it was like either the Jesuits or the House of Windsor. And then you get into all these other people, and it's just very high. When you meet Jews, what are their reactions to your work, Adam?
Well, I don't know a lot of Jews in real life, in my personal life, but like I don't really know a lot of people in my personal life besides like friends from high school. You know, my friends are now online, the people I talk with, you know, living all over the world. But I've got a few Jewish people that come on the show. They've been on a few times, and they frankly say that I'm right about my research. I ask them, I go, where am I wrong about any of this? And they don't really, they just go, well, yeah, you're right, but you know, you're just not seeing it quite like we do, you know, like, cause they actually believe it. Like they really are chosen and you know,
it's crazy, right? I mean, it's crazy.
It's narcissistic to think that your group was chosen by God, like his treasured nation. And this really influences people strongly. A lot of them in Israel today. And it's just frankly appalling and supremacist to me. And then the hypocrisy that like the ADL and them, they're always talking about white supremacy is this biggest threat, you know, Homeland Security and FBI and all of the anti-white rhetoric that's in entertainment and in movies and coming out from Amazon and just everywhere like that. I think it's really hypocritical.
I completely agree with you. And I say that to everybody. It's like, you know, I had a talk with Tim Dillon, who I love to death, and he's like, my problem with the conspiracy theorists is like everything's Jews and gays. I go, Tim, if we went in there and checked on the internet right now and you had to go through all of Twitter, who do you think gets blamed for more problems right now? Jews, gays, or white people? And it's white people. It's like, dude, you on Twitter, you get a million likes if you say white people are a piece of shit and they're ruining everything. It's all a big psyop to me to get us all to fight with each other. All to fight with each other. It's just...
Well, you could talk about white supremacy all over the newspapers, all over the media, in television and entertainment and stuff. But if you make a video like I do of Jewish supremacy, showing like some of their actual straight quotes from their sacred texts and like, you know, clips of rabbis, that gets, you know, blocked on YouTube. So it's kind of obvious like where the real supremacy lies.
It's just an interesting, I guess, you know, it's like Dana, who I love with all my heart, you know, her family's Jewish. They're all Jewish. They're all wonderful people. I don't know what the, it's just, it's hard when you hear like, oh man, that, you know, and the history of that. And we all know that Hitler, it was controlled opposition, that, you know, he's a Rothschild, you know, all the Nazis.
It's funny you said that because I actually, my last interview I did with author and researcher Christopher John Bjerknes, And he's been covering a lot of these topics that I'm into for like 20 years. And we just did an interview with his new book about Hitler being a Zionist, actually. And it's trending top of the week on BitChute right now. And a lot of the people that, you know, see Hitler in a more favorable light are really upset about it. Oh, you should get him on if you're into that. You should get him on and interview him about his book.
So you're saying that. So, like, the people who, let's say the Nazis, are angry that Hitler might be, you know, a Zionist, or even that Hitler, like, his grandfather was a Rothschild. Control, you know, why should Hitler be any different than anybody else? If, what do we say? Leaders are selected, not elected. You know, why would Hitler be any different? How is it possible that a guy got through clean? I mean, everybody's controlled opposite. Everybody, you know, like at the highest levels, they're all controlled. How's the, how would this guy get in clean? He wasn't. We know what World War II was about. The Hitler was from the family who funded the German war. And then they were the one who were part of the Bellflower Agreement, if that's what it's called. You know, I mean, like,
well, Bjerknes doesn't focus on that in his book. He talks more about like the transfer agreement and the Zionist. Basically, I don't want to get too into it because this is going on YouTube and it's, you know, talking about this topic at all will get your channel deleted again. So
boner pills and anti-Zionism will get you in trouble.
Maybe iTunes YouTube will be a little safer. I don't know. But basically, it was that they needed some persecution and some anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is so vital and like instrumental to keeping Judaism like cohesive and to keep it lasting for so long. And it's this dichotomy that goes all the way back to their patriarch Jacob. So the Abrahamic religions, Abraham had the covenant with God. He told him circumcise and, you know, you will get the promised land, your descendants. And then there was Jacob and Esau were twins. Jacob is the progenitor to the Jewish people, they believe. And Esau, they believe, is Christian, European, West. But it was also all these other people throughout history. So they believe that we just hate them for no reason. The Kabbalah rabbis, I did a video the other day called The Anti-Semitism Virus. They believe that anti-Semitism is embedded in nature and it's just a natural law, and that non-Jews are born hating Jews and they don't even know why, and that there's no reason. So whenever we have the conversation about anti-Semitism, they always make it seem like, oh, it's just you guys have a brain infection. You have a disease. It's a virus. People have what you're saying about us is an anti-Semitic trope. It's a stereotype that people have said about us all throughout history, everywhere we've gone, which kind of lends credence to possibly that it's true and they're just not being self-aware. But
I just know so many Jews I love, and I'm just like,
well, they're probably not at the upper echelon.
Oh yeah, I don't know anybody who's friends. I don't know that's like BFFs with Moloch. I don't know any of those.
Or anybody who really takes it serious, other than they just say I'm a Jew, but kosher. I don't know no one that eats kosher, honestly.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing because I just think it's this long game, and you know, Adam, you're much more versed in this stuff than I am, but it's just like it's a long game by these same fucking people. And you know, you go back to what's your thoughts on Khazarians and what they represent? You know, when you'd hear like the synagogue of Satan, I remember being very young and I was like, dude, that's like anti-Jew. Fuck that, man. That's not cool. And then you realize what they're talking about is like these Khazarians, man. And how like, and that, you know, Khazarians and, you know, how the whole war with Russia that they had, and how basically this coalition told Khazarians they had to change their religion, and they picked Judaism because it was the smallest population of the three major religions at the time, so it was probably easier to take over. Like, what are your thoughts on all that? Am I just disgusting you right now?
No. This is the Khazarian theory is an interesting topic. I don't know for sure if it's 100% true or not. I've seen compelling stuff on both sides and also debunking it as well. But what's weird is they say that there was a mass conversion. I think it was like 600 or 700 AD. But then the Jews claim that that was really them Jewish all along, and they just, you know, dispersed after the temple was destroyed. So why would they need to? Did they leave Judaism? And then why would they need to convert back? Why would you convert unless they, you know, they fell away from the Torah? Why would they need to convert if they were really Jews all along?
It's just very interesting because it's like, here we go. It's going to always go back to the same thing.
Well, you know, there's other groups too, like the Black Hebrew Israelites think that they're the true Israelites. And then there's the Christian Identity group that think like the Europeans or the Irish or the Germans or wherever, they're the real, they're the ones with the birthright. They're God's chosen. You know, they're meant to fulfill all of the prophecies to, you know, the Old Testament says that they're going to feed off the riches of the Gentiles. It says they're going to suck the milk of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles will be over, and that it'll be the time. and they really, all the people around Trump feel that this time is now. They got him on the Third Temple coin. They're trying to do this big peace deal with Kushner, who's Chabad Lubavitch, that's deep in all this.
Talk about this, man. Okay. So basically what's saying is, like, listen, I'm just sensitive to the whole thing because I just know, like, you know, when we, you know, you see a lot of people, who'd we have on? What was it? What was Jan's name?
I can't. Jan Irvin.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, Muslims are running everything, and you know, Muslims do all this stuff, and it's like, I know so.
Then why are we signing Noahide laws by the president every year and not Sharia laws if the Muslims are running anything? It's absurd to say. I mean, they've got power. There's a lot of them. They've got money, but you know, look at the war on terror. Look at all the Muslims that have been getting destroyed.
Yeah, my whole thing is this: is just like. People are people, man. And it's just this power structure, and they just get these you know, it's like Soros is like, you know, dude, openly hunted Jews. Openly hunted them. Even said that
I think Jones exaggerates that a bit much. I have seen him say it, though. He does say that he has no regrets and stuff.
Yeah, even said it was a pleasurable part of his life. And it's just like, and then you go back to Hitler. Hitler probably was Jewish, and now, you know, we find out he's Zionist. And, like, it's, like, all inside. It's always people from the inside. It's these people at the top who make us at the bottom pay the price all the time. All the time. And it's all power structure shit. It's always the same people, man. It's these fucking people at the top, these dark arts people. And it just upsets me because it's just going to get to the point where it's like the people actually doing this shit are never going to feel any of the pain and suffering that's going to come from this shit because it's going to come to a head. And then it's going to be like everybody, you, me, everybody, Muslim, you know, our Muslim friends, our Jewish friends, our Christian friends are all going to pay the fucking price. It just sucks.
Well, a student of University of Maryland just got arrested.
For what?
For anti-Semitism text messages.
It's just unbelievable.
Really? Just, yeah. Text messages?
Text messages?
He sent anti-Semitic text messages to someone, and they reported it, and he got arrested.
And we know what that's all about, because these colleges invest in the military-industrial complex, and they don't want that money to go away. And it's just like, this is what we're talking about, because they do this thing, and then people go crazy. And just... it's fucking sucks.
The ADL knows that they keep pushing with their agenda, and people are going to get mad and snap, and then they love it. They raise a bunch of money. They get to go around and look like, see, we're right. We're the victims. They literally have a victim complex going back to Jacob and Esau, like I was saying. They believe Esau hates Jacob for no reason, but there's a whole story about Jacob stealing his birthright and being like trickery and deception. And, they believe Esau became Edom, became Rome, became the Amalekites, which they're commanded to destroy, and then became the Christian West. And they believe that Esau, ultimately, the whole prophecy with Jacob and Esau is that they were twins. Esau came out first, and it's the elder shall serve the younger. So they're all about either basically enslaving us to be Noahides. That's what their prophecy says. That the top rabbis over in Israel, like, the chief Sephardic rabbi, Ovadia Yosef, he says that Gentiles were only made to serve us, that we're only here to serve them or under Noahide laws. And have you guys heard of the Noahide laws before?
No, I'd love to hear about it.
It's the seven Noahide laws. It comes from the Talmud. The rabbis interpret them as the story when Noah had the flood, God showed the rainbow and then made a covenant with them. So the laws are like no idolatry, no blasphemy. They're similar. They're kind of innocuous and similar to the Ten Commandments, but they're not the Ten Commandments. They're different, and they want this to be the one world religion. And the most important part, basically, of Noahide laws is you have to honor them as God's chosen and kind of serve them with a special affinity to help them usher in their Messiah, the Moshiach, and rebuild the temple and heal the world, Tikkun Olam, and worship them as God's chosen people, essentially.
Okay.
And they're pushing this. This is at the UN. This is in bills. This is Chabad Lubavitch. You can't talk about Judaism without talking about Chabad Lubavitch. And you can't talk about them without talking about their Messiah and the Noahide laws.
I totally believe that's probably happening for sure. You know, I just like think that there's so many religious whack jobs out there. I don't know, man. Right? I mean, like,
well, they are wacky, but this is like mainstream. This is like the state religion. You look at Netanyahu, everywhere he goes, he's followed around with a Chabad rabbi. This is like the premier, most powerful group in Judaism. Kushner's involved with it. Ivanka.
Yeah, talk to me about Kushner. I think that guy likes to have sex with a knife to his throat because he's such a fucking whack job.
Is he not so creepy?
He is. He's like every bad guy from a Bond movie. You know, it's just like he just plays that role.
Yeah, I've done videos. My most popular video on my YouTube channel is about Kushner. It's like a 15-minute compilation. Basically, I've got a speculation that they may claim that he is their Jewish Messiah if he helps them rebuild the temple. He's already essentially the most powerful guy there next to Trump, if it's not really, you know. But when you think of Kushner's power, you also think of Chabad and Netanyahu as well. But, you know, he's the top advisor. He's involved with everything. He's doing this big peace deal, which has, like, you know, prophecy connections. But something interesting about Kushner is Ivanka converted. First he broke up with her because she wasn't Jewish, but then she converted. They got married. So you know, advantageously, he gets right next to the president. And his shul, their synagogue, calls Ivanka Esther. So if you know the story of Esther, she was a Jewish queen that basically convinced the Persian king to let the Jews slaughter all his own people. It's what they celebrate on Purim. And so if they call her Esther, that means that basically Make America Great Again patriots are going to end up getting slaughtered, if you follow that logic. And they also rabbis call Trump the head of Edom, which Edom in the end times ultimately serves them or is destroyed. You see the prophecy of Obadiah and I think Malachi and elsewhere, what they say about Edom. And then very clearly the rabbis and all of the Jewish websites say Edom is Christian, white, Europeans, the West, the new Rome.
It's just, dude.
And it's all in the open. I mean, anybody can fact check me. I'm sure in the comments I'm going to be getting attacked, all types of stuff about me. But if they're not going to address or prove any of the points I'm saying wrong, I don't think.
No. Listen, man. Again, I think everything you're saying, there's probably some truth. I mean, there's truth behind it. I shouldn't say probably. There's truth behind it. I just get, you know, it's just for me, dude. It's just like, fuck, man. I just like, man, this is some heavy ass shit, dude, right?
It's heavy. It's creepy. It's heavy, it's a serious shit. Rabbit
and you're
hole,
like,
but
oh, man. And no, my reaction isn't like, oh, fuck Adam Gray. I'm like, oh, man. It's just like, you know, there's people out there and all they want to do is just control everything and be crazy people. And then in return, they're going to get us all to fight with each other. And it's just over fucking stupid shit. And at the end of the day, it's all really Hinduism. You go in the back and it's just like, it just sucks, man. It just sucks that there's got to be people at the top doing this shit. And it's going to make all of us at the bottom fucking go to war over it. And it fucking breaks my heart. And it makes me really sad because I know on a street level, that everybody's just, we're all the same. Everybody just wants to make a dollar, feed their family, get their dick wet once in a while, you know, have a good time. And it's just these people at the top are just pulling this bullshit. And it's going to make everybody fight with each other. Everywhere I go, man, people are people. They're good people, man. You know, I went to Afghanistan, man, a bunch of Muslims, man. Fucking nicest people. China, Chinese people, nicest fucking people, man, all over the place. And it's just these people at the top that get us all to fucking fight with each other. And it fucking sucks, man. It just sucks. It breaks my heart.
It's the media tell you to be scared of all these people. Even homeless people. They tell you to be scared of homeless people. I mean, they suck, but they're still nice.
The media is controlled by them. I mean, these people at the top, which Emma is talking about, are controlled by people, you know? And it's just, they're controlling the media. That's why Clinton and Reagan deregulated the media so they could control everything. And it just sucks.
Well, it definitely controlled the media. You know, I just had a thought. I remembered you're probably friends with Ari Shaffir. He used to be ultra orthodox and left. And I've seen him talk about some of that stuff. I haven't seen his new stand-up special called It's called, I think it's just called Jew, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Nobody's seen it because he didn't record it because he did something pretty stupid. But we love
I'd be interested to talk to him about it because, you know, I do my due diligence. I study hard on this stuff. I read a lot, all of their sources and direct quotes from what they're saying. And I feel a lot of it's, you know, it's all irrefutable, really.
Adam, listen to me. It's not the information you have because there are people out there doing this shit. 100%. 100%. Right? They're doing it. They're out there. But it's like the implications of what you're saying make me sad because I know that there's a lot of wonderful people that I love very much that are, you know, are going to have to face, like if this thing keeps growing, going to have to face, you know, the energy and the blowback from what these people at the top are doing. And that's kind of what I've always wanted to do on a show is be like, dude, it's not groups. It's power structures, man. That's my opinion. And it just sucks, man. It just sucks.
That's why it's important to wake up everyday people that don't know what the people in power are doing in their name. And then, you know, people will disavow or they'll disassociate with it. And they'll realize that a lot of it is really insane.
Insanity. I mean, religious is just super insanity, man.
Here's something that like is a mic drop issue when it comes to Trump and this anti-Semitism issue. Okay, the definition of anti-Semitism that they're trying to push with the new anti-Semitism czar Elon Carr, who was funded by Sheldon Adelson, Trump's top donor, and Adelson went with the governor of Florida. They flew together. The state of Florida flew over to Jerusalem with Sheldon Adelson, a multi-billionaire Zionist, and signed a bill banning criticism of Israel on college campuses in Florida. And this new definition of anti-Semitism that they're trying to push everywhere says that you're not, it's anti-Semitic to talk about their loyalty. So to question the Adelson, literally, I have a clip of Adelson, Sheldon Adelson saying, all I care about, quote, all I care about is being a good Zionist and a good citizen of Israel. And this guy has bought off our president and the whole Republican Party. And now they're trying to pass laws that we can't talk about apex power and them buying off American politicians. It's like America's been hijacked by a foreign power. Michelle Malkin was just with Nick Fuentes saying that we got to call out the foreign agents with dual loyalty. And, you know, dual loyalty, that's a trope, you know. But also at the same time, it's like we know they care deeply about Israel. No, many of them, not all of them, obviously.
Well, the dual citizenship is a giant fucking issue, for sure. I don't know how that's legally – well, I do know how because that's done on purpose to allow –
not even just the citizenship but the loyalty.
Meaning that they –
because you don't have to be a citizen of Israel to have loyalty and to want to always do everything in the Middle East that you think is best for Israel and try to send as much money as you can and try to turn the other way when they're caught spying or – you know, doing, you know, crooked stuff like in the Al Jazeera lobby documentary, all the spying and all the tech takeover that's happening right now, too. You had Whitney Webb on, but I guess that was to talk Epstein. So, yeah, Epstein, who's very likely Mossad, is blackmailing all the politicians around the world.
For sure, Mossad. And Mossad is Jesuits, you know, they're just like the CIA.
I wouldn't say Mossad is Jesuits.
Really?
When you say Jesuits, I think it was started by what's known as a Murano Loyola. So he was a crypto and he started it. And have you heard about Vatican II? I'm sure you have. You guys got your
I want to hear about Vatican II. This sounds like the worst Disney movie ever. Vatican II was like in the 50s
where they changed a lot of their policy towards Judaism. And, you know, it's believed that it was infiltrated and taken over. And now you look at the Pope and he's going along with, you know, he's cracking down on anti-Semitism. He's going along with the Noahide laws. So it seems, and if you look historically, the Catholic Church, like the saints and the popes, they used to be huge opposition to Judaism. Even Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, too. He has a whole book, The Jays and Their Lies, where he speaks very negatively about their religion. So it's changed a lot. In Christianity in America has gone from worshiping Jesus to basically worshiping Israel and being Zionist and wanting to – it's sick. They want to help Israel rebuild their temple so that the Antichrist will come and then that will trigger Jesus to come to defeat the Antichrist, force all the Jews to convert or die. So essentially you can call them anti-Semitic too. And then the Jews believe that they're going to get their temple and then fulfill their prophecies and turn everybody to Noahides. So, but they're working together, but they, you know, want their Messiah to win in the end. And this is literally, religion is upstream from politics. This is what's motivating people. Pence, Pompeo, these people around Trump, they are just fanatics about this stuff.
Is it all religion? Is it money based? The thing I'm saying is, like, Israel is also a the center of the flat Earth map. We're not saying it's flat Earth. I mean, I don't. If you look at the flat Earth map, right, the center of it is Israel.
Really?
Yeah. Right. It's right.
I thought
it was
the North Pole.
It's no. I look it up. Like if you look at the.
I'm not an expert in flat Earth. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily I have my best friend is. So if you need any questions, let me know.
Your friend, right?
Yeah. So I'm not a flat Earth guy. I'm a realms guy. I think we live in a realm, so that's why. Like,
I was at your event where you guys argued. Eddie Bravo argued with the guy in the crowd about flat Earth for like 45 minutes. You were so pissed.
you came to the first one. I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, I was there. I was there.
We were just kind of starting back then. But, you know, I'm more of a realms guy. That's why all this other religious shit just, it's like, oh, God.
Sorry to bust your bubble, but yeah, the center or the flat earth is the North Pole.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, let me look.
I'm not proud to be right about that right now.
I know.
I have no problems with being wrong, dude. I have no problems.
That's why I got to correct him now, because he'll keep saying it. But
there is a map where Israel
there
is.
There might be a map, but center of the all world, those though. Are
dude, by the way, this guy is the worst thing on computers. If you're putting all your money into that. I mean, I just don't know, dude, because there's multiple. But I'll take an L on that one. I'm not afraid to take an L on that one.
It's a good L to take.
I'll take an L. But it's like also your thoughts that, you know, Israel represents a land bridge that makes it the easiest to get goods from Asia and Africa to Europe.
Yeah, that's the map I was talking about, where their plans to be the center hub of the Belt and Road Initiative, if the whole Eurasian continent, they want to set up the new economy and rule the world from Jerusalem, like their prophecies say. You know, the first prime minister of Israel, Ben Gurion, was quoted in the 60s at a Life magazine interview saying that Jerusalem will be the supreme court of mankind and it'll have a shrine of the prophets. And rabbis were asking the Rothschilds in letters all the way back in 1836 to buy up the Temple Mount so they can rebuild the temple and return to the land. And Zionism basically started in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. And they've been wanting to go back and rebuild and do their sacrifices and fulfill everything ever since.
It's crazy. It's just like, it's just religious fanatics drive me fucking nuts, dude. They're just like crazy people, dude. It's just crazy. It's crazy. I want to get into the spine because a lot of times we hear Israel is our greatest ally. And I mean, so many Israelis, they're fucking wonderful people. I love watching Israeli soldiers twerk. They're great. They got great asses.
Don't you think it's sad how they kind of like show all, like they glamorize the IDF, their military, with like sexy pictures of girls? Like,
because they're hot.
Pretty,
but I get
pretty
what you're
manipulative
saying.
Though. Kinda.
Well, everything is. Well, I mean, we do that with our military. All of our movies where like military's kicking ass, or when we had I went to the World Series on mushrooms, right? And I just tripping balls at the World Series, and I was just like, there's so much military presence here. Like, everything's like military, 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 join the military. Hey, if you're in the military, stand up. Let's you know, all that is to be like, hey dude, the military's a great thing. We've had companies want to do military ads on the show. I won't do them. I'm not sending poor people to die for bankers, man.
And not selling out to the MIC, huh? Military industrial complex.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that is behind a lot of shit that's going on.
Have you seen the chicks? I know you.
Yeah,
have,
they're smoke shows.
Smoke shows.
Jewish chicks are number two on my super freak big board. I have number one Latinas, but number two. Jews, man, they don't believe in hell. They like it in the ass. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this show's
Did you
got
say they don't believe in hell?
Yeah. Man, you're funny.
So we have seen this stuff. There are things that need to be talked about, you know, that need to be said. Like, you know, the attack on the USS Liberty. That's a real thing that happened.
Covered up too, and then they're like basically dancing on the graves of the sailors that died when they say, "Oh, that's an anti-Semitic conspiracy. Don't talk about it." The survivors are literally still alive, like pleading for exposure on this and to get the word out. Or how about the dancing Israelis? I saw Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro saying like it's repulsive that they want to talk about the dancing Israelis. It's like, really, we got the FBI photos and declassified documents that they were there celebrating before the Twin Towers were hit, and then they failed polygraphs and were caught with plane tickets to fly. And it's just so sketchy of a smoking gun, and the media doesn't even cover the release of the photos.
I mean, with you on that. Listen, here's the thing that's going on, okay? You know, again, when they do this, it actually hurts their cause. When they sit there and they deny something, it hurts their cause. But it's going to be like, listen, anti-Semitism is going to be like sexism and racism, where it's like, okay, if you cry wolf every time, it loses its power. And that's what's happening right now. And people are eventually going to wake up. You see it happening in comedy right now, where like people are getting less and less sensitive about jokes, you know, that because this political correct bullshit's been going on so long that people are just, and they realize that everybody pushing it is full of shit. You know, it's like all these, you know, when Shane Gillis gets fired for doing an Asian and Jewish joke, when Asians, like, I can't tell you how many Asian comics I watch do yellow face on stage, like they super Asian it up. All their jokes are talking about how funny their mom's voicemail messages are. I mean, like, and it's, that's a hypocrisy. There's no set rule in this. And if every time you're wrong, it's like this is sports. Miles Garrett in the Cleveland Browns thing swung his helmet and hit the Pittsburgh Steelers guy. And when he was in the wrong, and well, you know what he did? He said the guy called him the N-word. Because for the longest time, that's all you had to do if you had a problem with a white person and you were black was say the N-word and everyone would scatter. They're like, oh, no, that's so bad. It's so obvious that he's lying about it. It's so obvious. And like, and now it's just like people crying wolf all the time. It's losing its power. And that's what's going to happen with this. If you keep calling something anti-Semitic and you don't actually deal with it, and that is where my Jewish friends, that's where they're wrong on this. You can't just defend everybody, just everybody all the time. You don't know these people.
And some Jews do get mad at like the ADL that calls everything anti-Semitic. Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL the other day did a post about Ted Cruz being anti-Semitic because Ted Cruz shared a post from Bloomberg magazine or newspaper talking about Bloomberg, like doing well in the race. And he's like, it's like he owns the media or something. Jonathan Greenblatt was like, it's not anti-Semitic to say he owns the media. It is anti-Semitic to say he controls the media. And it's like, so owners of the media don't control the media.
Right. Right. And I just feel, brother, to be honest with you, man, that as we get farther and farther along, I think these next generations are less and less religious. They're more spiritual. You are seeing movements within the Jewish community to be like, is what Israel's doing to Palestine is ridiculous. I really do, man. I if anyone in my Jewish friends listened to this episode and had a problem with it, I'll say, man, hey, dude, this is a real conversation you need to have. And if you're not going to have it, I'm going to have it. Because you're just sitting there and you're just saying that anything, any criticism of anybody who says they're Jewish is anti-Semitic is just going to hurt you in the long run. Imagine, and I said this before, imagine if, as an Italian, I'm half Italian, if I defended everything the Italian mob did and called it anti-Italian. It would be ridiculous. But the reason this is different is because I think in my heart of hearts that there's a group that's above this that is just trying to pull some shit and cloaking it in a religious war. And they're getting these at the high end, dude. And like, we're talking way back. Way back. And they write these books and they do all this shit to get us all to fight with each other. I mean, the Talmud, the Torah, and the Bible were all like written well after the fact that the events happened. Couple of these religious books were about an angel coming down and said something so holy, like the guy couldn't even write it down. It's like the most bizarre bullshit I've ever heard in my life. And when you talk about the Talmud, it's the Babylonian oral history. Right there is Saturnism. Babylonian?
Oral.
Okay, you love oral, but you know, it's just like, it's a whole different thing, man. Babylonian. And you know, it's like now you're taking word of mouth to people. And it's just like these, to me, this is the game that is played. They get us all to fight with each other while they just cash checks, man. And it's just, that's this conversation. Yeah. That's my opinion, man. And
I definitely think that the Abrahamic religions, I mean, you can almost call the last 2,000 years the Abrahamic age, because really it's just like a story of Jews, Christians, and Muslims for the most part. And there's definitely been a conflict, and it's because they're like, they're antithetical to each other. Although they're trying to push the Judeo-Christian line a lot because they're trying to slowly convert Zionists to becoming Noahides, that, you know, they've always been diametrically opposed. So, irreconcilable differences, kind of.
Yeah, and dude, it's just like, if you really strip down a lot of the shit in all these books, you just basically whittled them down to what is basically being said. They're all saying the same thing at the end of the day. It's these weird moments in these books that everybody fights with each other over. It's, we said before, it's almost like the power ranking of Jesus Christ. Where do you power rank Jesus Christ on your prophets is kind of where all the fighting is. And that's like even within Muslims, they're fighting with each other, you know? And it's just, and it's always, I mean, like, look at Islam, dude. They got to go to somewhere where Mecca, and they walk around a black cube and they do it 8 times. And who runs that? The House of Saud. Right? And what do they do? And they own Chase Bank. They own Citigroup. Sorry. And
you know, the story is that Abraham, the Abraham covenant, the Abrahamic religions, he went with his son Ishmael, who was the progenitor to the Arabs. And that was like his wife that he had with his maiden, or the son he had with his maiden. And that became the Muslims. And then, you know, another generation down, it was the Jacob and Esau thing. And they believe, you know, all this stuff going back to these stories, and they live their lives by it. Everything that happens in the world, they view with the lens of prophecy. And it's like they use these prophecies and their books as like a guidebook to try to like fulfill them and, you know, make them all, come about.
Yeah, I mean, it's just whack job religious people. And that's my opinion on everything, man. Just whack job. I mean, especially these older, like, religious people. And, like, they've invested so much into this fucking crazy shit, right? And they're like, okay, dude, I'm like 85. Let's get the Messiah here. Somebody build a building. The clock is a ticking.
Have you heard the song, We Want Moshiach Now?
No,
in any of my videos? Oh, man.
Is there a
dance? I don't know if you can play clips, but there's literally like the head rabbi claps real hard and says, we want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. He has a speech when he was on his deathbed too, like, do everything you can to make him come now. And it's so they can rule the world.
Ridiculous.
They think that they will enslave the non-Jews. It's insane. And there's no refuting it. I got clips of them saying it. I show all their scripture where it's said.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Are we going to get dinged for anything? We're already dancing with the devil. Are we going to ding? Are we going to get dinged there? YouTube's pissed me. I'm doing boner pills. They're getting rid of me.
He looks funny, though.
What is this? We Want Mashiach Now? You found it? Yep.
Look at that.
I mean, dude, this is a guy who's like, it's just like.
Modest Yahoo, you remember him? Like the hip-hop orthodox Jewish guy? He had a song because he was in Chabad. He had a song called "I Want Moshiach Now." Also, was the hook of it. His most famous song too. He had the whole world singing "We Want Moshiach Now."
I just,
And the Christians believe that Moshiach will be the Antichrist because he sits in the temple and he does a peace deal.
Right? I mean, it's just like, it's so crazy how all these religions just have this perfect kind of thing that just equals to just us fighting and just killing each other.
Yep.
It's just, it's unbelievable, dude.
The Gog and Magog war and Pompeo believes in the rapture. This guy is our Secretary of State, and he believes, like, he's given speeches where, like, you know, we're just going to keep doing this till the rapture comes. And it's like, it's disturbing when people are just living their lives according to trying to fill out prophecies where they rule the world.
So, I know we got to go. I just wanted to ask you just real quick. We'll do it on another show. But I want to ask you something, Adam, because I know we got to jam out of here. We've done about an hour, yeah? Are you happy? You a happy guy? I mean, the way I meet you, you smile a lot. Are you happy doing this? I mean, because it's heavy shit, bro.
I love it. I love it. It's the greatest job. I get to do what I love to do. I get to read and research and just share my journey and share the stuff that's most interesting to me. It helps me vent, like making these videos. It's like therapeutic to rant about this stuff and share this stuff that just blows my mind.
What else you ever talk about? Anything else? Or I know you've been centered on this, but before that, what were you talking about?
You know, when I first started my channel, I was like a fan of InfoWars and Alex Jones when I was just getting out of college and you know, starting to pay attention to politics. And since then, I've become a huge critic of your buddy Alex Jones. I'm not going to trash him on your show, but I have a ton of videos and compilations of him doing his gatekeeping for Zionism. And I've actually got a debate with a guy that works at InfoWars coming up next week on the Ralph Retort. And I've had several debates with Owen Schroyer, who works there. You know, he's like Alex's protege. I'd like to do a debate with Jones, because when I called in a couple months ago, he just put me on mute and talked a bunch of trash and didn't let me respond to anything. So another challenge for Mr. Alex Jones for a debate.
It's so – I tried to set that up between you and Ryan with Janza, and he has some guy who wants to come on, convince everybody that the Muslims are taking over. And I love debate. I think this is important. I think this shows like these are important. I think people need to hear everything and have a question. And, hey, man, what about this? What about this? What about that? I think it's important. It's so weird, you know. I met, what's his name, Schroyer? What's his name on?
Owen Schroyer.
Owen. I met him. I met Alex. And I met you. You're all the nicest people, dude. It's so crazy. Like, the nicest people. I couldn't treat like class when I was over there with Eddie. And, you know, the time you've come to my shows and the time we talked, I had nothing but wonderful conversations. And, you know, it just gives me hope that, you know, maybe we could all just have conversations and have the discussions and maybe we disagree on shit. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all people. And at the end of the day, we really just want to live with love and peace and all that stuff. And, you know, this show to me is important because, you know, we have to have a discussion. We have to have a discussion of these people at the very top and what they're doing and what they're manipulating. And, you know, I know somebody's – I mean, dude, a lot of Jews were lost in the Holocaust. Guess what? They were poor and middle class. A lot of those guys, a lot of the rich ones, it's like, dude, it's like the power tops, you know.
A lot of you know, Germans and Americans and
Russians
Britain and
Russians, 20 Russians, millions yeah. died. 20 yeah. million. It's like, it's always an inside job, man. It's always an inside job.
I got to put you in touch with Bjerknes. You will really be interested with what he has to say.
I would love that. I want everybody's welcome in the Truth Chamber, so I'd love to have that. I'm trying to do one about Hitler being a Rothschild. I was trying to get on a couple other people, but it just hasn't happened. I some people think I'm a whack job within the conspiracy community. I don't know what it is. I'm the crazy person, maybe because I can't pronounce anybody's names. I don't know what
that. Well, the T-shirt that I got from you has like every conspiracy on it. It's like reptilians, flat Earth, 9/11, a bunch of other stuff too. It's funny. Conversation starter. What?
Well, a final question. What I find interesting, because you know, you are so passionate about this one thing, and I'm sure
you know, through the comments section or even when in everyday conversations, you get a lot of people saying that you're batshit crazy, right? I mean, and you're not. You're very passionate.
I don't actually get that much.
Anybody go, what you're saying isn't true? Because as a conspiracy theorist, I get that every day.
Yeah, well, you know, I really stick to, like, the channel's No More News, and I really stick, like, I'm, like, OCD with collecting clips and, like, screenshots of quotes from articles, or, like, I'll read books and take, you know, scan the book and put it on my screen. I really document and show everything, so it's really, like, you know, indisputable when I'm making my points.
And I think that's why
OCD. A lot of times when I'm making videos, the struggle is to, like, keep it short enough that it's not 2 hours and I can do it in one sitting.
Dude, I can tell you got OCD. Look how clean that place is. Everybody else, your place is stunningly clean, dude.
Oh, if I tilted the camera around, you would see the mess. I clean up the shot for you.
Well, Adam, I always enjoy the stuff you're posting. You blow my mind. You know, I think it's important to have conversations with you. I know there's going to be some people who are like, oh, dude, anti-Semitism. It's not, dude. It's a real conversation. And we have to go, what's going on? What is the power? What are the people at the highest levels doing? And at the end of the day, I think it's a small group of people getting us all the fucking fight with each other. And I to this day, I believe that. I know that, you know, Robert Maxwell, with Mossad, I know the USS Liberty, the dancing Israelis. Those are real things that happen, okay? And to dismiss that as anti-Semitism is just lazy. It's just lazy.
And it's really a non-argument. It's a trick. And like you said, it is losing its power. When they control the media and they control the narrative and they have all their gatekeepers, you know, controlling blue check marks on Twitter and stuff, they can... You know, they can suppress you enough and deplatform you and keep you in the echo chamber that really the message doesn't really, it's not able to naturally get out to the masses.
I agree with that. But I also think it's a weird thing they got to do because they want to control it without destroying the illusion. Mm-hmm. Because the illusion is the only thing that keeps the thing spinning. Keeps this whole thing where they're cashing checks in, right? I mean, like, I just feel like if YouTube gets rid of all the conspiracy theory shows, that's going to destroy that brand. I mean, we saw it with television. People left television in droves when it started getting really dumb and really watered down, and they're starting to learn that. And, like, the media has learned, like, you have to be credible. You can't just push a narrative. And I don't know who did it, but the last couple of years, it seems like the media has lost all of its power.
Yeah, and YouTube, like, we're going to be reaching a tipping point soon, too, on YouTube, because, like, I already can get more live viewers on DLive and BitChute. Pretty soon I'll be getting more views on BitChute than on YouTube, because with the algorithms and the suppression and hiding from the search results and not sending out notifications or unsubbing people, you know, even though we're still on, our videos are never allowed to spread virally. They got them... you know, capped out and stuff. So
I tried.
It's going to be dead soon. We're some of the last few on anyway. So
I've been trying to do BitChute. I can't get them. I try to upload it. It won't upload. Whatever's going on over there. I tried to move all my stuff there. I would just upload shit and I'd show up and it's not there. And I'm like, fuck is going on here?
That's happened to me before too. You know, they're working out the bugs still, and it's gotten better. The search function is kind of, you know, not the best either, and like recommended videos aren't the best, but they're trying to get live streaming going there. That would be huge.
Vimeo's good though. It used to be a problem. Now it's fine. Every time I log in on Broken Simulation,
yeah, but all the traffic's at YouTube, dude, and that's the thing about this conspiracy community. They all know what's going on, but they don't want to just go into their address bar and put in Broken Simulation or a BitChute. We're not asking you to get in your car and drive somewhere. I'm just asking you to check out another website that just takes you putting it in your fucking search bar. That's all it is. And it's like, you got to, if you want the good stuff, you can't eat YouTube's becoming Burger King. You can't eat Burger King all the time. If you want to be healthy, you got to get off there.
And YouTube's getting annoying. The ads, they're in the middle of things. Vimeo doesn't have them.
Yeah.
You complain about the ads, go somewhere else.
Adam, I love you, buddy. I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate everything you say. I love hearing from people like you and who are brave enough to say what they believe, and we need more people like that. And we have to have more people having a conversation back and forth.
Absolutely.
And because the narrative is one way, and it needs to go the other way. And, you know, Ben Shapiro, to me, I can't stand the man. I can't stand hearing him talk. Everything he says is so full of shit. Like, he was like, yeah, people say American soldiers are dying for Israel. It's like, and his answer to that was, they joined the military freely. I'm like,
that did you see his speech about Fuentes where he said, all of Trump's policy advisors are Jewish? You didn't see that soundbite? It was a good one.
Well, he's just the most, I mean, do you think anyone's ever punched Ben Shapiro in the face?
No.
That's a guy that has, that guy is like a hot chick who talks shit to everybody because no one's ever just, well, I don't know, or just go, okay, shut up, back, and just nail. Ben Shapiro's never been punched in the face, ever. I feel like it would be good for him. It would kind of like, I like Ari Shaffir. I love my buddy so much. Like, they're like, hey, dude, I'm going to come find you and kick your ass. Might be good for Ari. Just, just a little ass kicking to re-fucking pro. I've been punching face a lot of times. I think about what comes out of my mouth. That's what I do. He's the Zionist killer. Adam Green, you're the man, dude. I appreciate you coming on. Let's do it again soon. I love these conversations, and I want to have more of them, dude. And, you know, if people have a problem with what you're saying, then I think that's childish. And I think they need to do some research. And if they don't like what's being said, they have to start saying, hey, it's not me. It's that asshole that's doing that. And that's my real opinion. I think the Jewish community needs to stop sitting there and just defending everybody with a yarmulke and start going, hey, dude, that guy's an asshole. I have nothing to do with that. That's a banker. That's a greeting guy. That's a fucking, that's a Saturnist. That's whatever they want to do, and not just sit there and act like, you know, everything's anti-Semitism. It's not. There's a lot of great Jews out there that have, I don't even think have them. I guarantee you most of my friends never even picked up the Torah. Maybe they held it when they were kids. They haven't read it. They couldn't tell you fucking anything in that shit. And so that's it, man. I love you, Adam. Thanks for coming on. If you ever come into L.A., come hang out sometime, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoyed chatting with you. We'll have to do it again sometime. Thank you.
You're the best, bud. Take care. Enjoy your clean room, brother.
Thank you.
Bye, bud.
See ya.
Okay, thank you. That was Adam Green, everybody. We did it. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please subscribe, and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.